Okay. All right. Tonight's study is we're going to focus in on Behold, He Cometh with Clouds. We read about that in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 7, and we read, "And every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." Even so, amen. We read in Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 1, we read, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." In Matthew chapter 26, we read in verse 62, "And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered again, and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven." And then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witness? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Now the Lord here is getting ready to go to the cross, and he answers and said, "Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power." And when was the Lord on Pentecost so was seated at the right hand of the Father, and that is the time period of when he poured out his Spirit into the people, into the body of Christ, and it says here, so he is sitting, he will be seen hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. The Lord has been coming in the clouds, in the body of Christ, in the body of believers, in the true church since Pentecost, and he will be revealed to the entire world on the last day, when he comes in judgment to the whole world, when he reveals himself in all of his glory. We read in Mark chapter 9 verse 7, "And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked around about, they saw no man anymore, save Jesus only with themselves." So this voice coming out of the cloud, and we know this was the voice of the Father. And it says, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And the body of Christ also, we're commanded to have the mind of Christ, and of course we find the mind of Christ between the books of Genesis and Revelations. It is the Word of God, and we are to declare the Word of God, and the Lord makes us the willing to do of his good pleasure, and he puts his words into us. We don't bring our own words, and we are those cloud of witnesses, and we also say, this is the beloved Son, hear him. We lead people to Jesus. So the voice came out of the cloud, and it continues to come out of the cloud. The voice of the Father. We know the Father's voice, and we don't answer to another. And so when someone says, "Thus saith the Lord," we know whether it's the Father's voice or not, because we have the Bible, and we're born again, and we have the Holy Spirit. We get quite a few pictures of a voice coming out of the cloud. We read of the same incident in Matthew chapter 17:5, and again in Mark chapter 9 verse 7, And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." So the Lord has put this in three of the four Gospels. He's underscored it. Now, in Acts chapter 1, this is coming up onto Pentecost in verse 7, and we read, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And when he had thus spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And you know, when the Lord went to be seated at the Father's right hand, and this is that picture here, and he outpoured his spirit into the body of Christ, the cloud did receive him. We have the Word dwelling within us. We have Christ within us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The day star rises in our our hearts. That's where the gospel seed is planted. So the cloud indeed did receive him. The body of Christ received him. Out of their sight, and so people don't see Christ, they don't see God, but they hear his voice through the body of Christ, declaring, those who are declaring the true gospel are declaring the word of God. in Psalms chapter 104 verse 2 we read of him who covereth himself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beam of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. So he maketh the clouds his chariot. You know, when we get into Revelations, we'll see in Revelations how the Lord is sitting on a cloud, and he's thrusting in his sickle. It's time to reap. And I believe that's in Revelations 18 or 19. I think it's 19. Now in Genesis, we read in Genesis chapter 9, verse 13, "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." Now this bow is a bow as in a bow and arrows. A lot of people always think of this as a rainbow, but it is not. That's not what this word is. This is a bow. And we read in Psalms chapter 127 verse 4, "As the arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth." And so we are the arrows in the hand of he who is the bow. And he is in a cloud. The bow is set in a cloud. That's the body of Christ. Christ is in the cloud. "And it shall be for a token and a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." Christ will be seen in the cloud. "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of the all flesh and of the waters, shall no more become a flood to destroy flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature, for all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token." And a token is a sign. "This is the sign of the covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." In Exodus, we read in chapter 13, verse 21, "The Lord went before them by day in a pillar." Now this word pillar is a column. This pillar is a column. A column or a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. "And by night a pillar of fire, to give them light to go by day and night." "And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night, from before the people." Now, when we compare this to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, we read, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." Now, this pillar is a post, and a post and a column both support something. Now, of course, this pillar in the cloud, we don't see it supporting anything. It looks like a pillar. It is a column. It's a column of a cloud. But indeed, the idea of the picture of this really is that it indeed does support something. It supports the Word of God. It supports Christ. It is Christ who is in the cloud. He is the pillar and the ground of truth. And of course, here in 1 Timothy 3:15, we know that it is Christ within us that is the pillar and the ground of truth. And therefore, the true church of God declares His Word. And therefore, the Word of God is the pillar and the ground of truth. But looking some more on this cloud in Exodus, we go to chapter 14 and we read in verse 19, and the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and a pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. We compare this to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, where we read, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." So this cloud was darkness unto them. And again we read in Joel chapter 2, verse 1, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. For it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountain, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is the appearance of horses, and as the horsemen, so shall they run." We were looking the other day at these horsemen. Fifth trumpet in Revelation chapter 9, I think it is, where God speaks of the horsemen. And the number of them, and they were 200,000. But God speaks, and he gives a picture of them that they're a horseman, and the horses have heads like lions, and so on and so forth. And this is a picture of gathering them together for Armageddon. Back in Revelation, there's also a picture of when Satan is being loosed, and God is gathering his army onto that place called Armageddon. And this is referencing that Armageddon. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. And he talks about the desolation in the wilderness, and the fire burning, and the flame. Again, we look at and compare some more to Zephaniah chapter 1. We read in verse 14, "The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath. It's a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of cloud and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet." And that identifies the time. It's the time of the trumpet. The seven trumpets, the day of the trumpet, an alarm against defensed cities, and against the high towers, and that's the Jerusalem below. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men. They have no sight, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. So this is horrible language, but again, it's a time of darkness, darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. But to us, it is this cloud is light and not darkness. And they see it for darkness, and they see it the bitter for sweet and the sweet for bitter. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 10, we read, "And came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the people of Israel, that they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." And whenever we're declaring the word of God, the glory of the Lord is appearing in the cloud. And those whose ears and eyes have been opened, they see the glory. They see the word. They hear the word, and they respond. And to them it is for light. But those whose eyes are not open, to them it is darkness. It is rejected. It is doom and gloom. In Exodus 19, we get a picture of what took place back then when Moses went up onto the mountain. And it's a picture of this time period. It's a picture of when we're up on the mountain. And in Exodus 19, verse 16, we read, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud." And that's the key, the voice of the trumpet. The trumpet is sounding. "So that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount." We read in Exodus chapter 24, verse 15, and Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So here again is a picture of Moses in the cloud. And Moses is God's spokesman. And the Lord is in the cloud. And we are his spokesman. Anybody who is born again saying, "Thus saith the Lord," we are a cloud of witnesses. And in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 2, the Lord says, "I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat." In Numbers chapter 11, verse 25, it says, "And the Lord came down in the cloud and spake unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease." They brought forth the word of God. So this pillar of a cloud is a picture, again, this cloud is a picture of the body of Christ. "His strength is in the clouds," we read in Psalm 68, verse 33. "To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doeth send out his voice, and that mighty voice. Ascribe ye greatness unto God, his excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds." It is in those who are bringing forth the word. In Psalms chapter 78, verse 20, we read, "Behold, he smote the rock, that the water gushed out, and the streams overflow. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them the corn of heaven. Men did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. And again, that's the picture of what God has done throughout the church age, and constantly the assault came and the falling away. And even though he had commanded the clouds, the body of Christ from above, to bring the word, and he had opened the doors of heaven by the preaching of the word of God, he rained down the manna, the bread of life, Christ, the word of God, upon them to eat. And he did give them the corn of heaven, and men did eat angels' food, and he sent them meat to the full. In Psalms chapter 147, verse 8, we read, "Who covereth the heaven with clouds? Who prepareth the rain for the earth? Who maketh the grass to grow upon the mountains?" You know, this grass, again, is a picture of grazing food upon the mountains. And, you know, the cattle will graze the grass. And that's the food that the Lord has prepared. You know, and the cattle is a picture of the unsaved and those who have responded. And, you know, many are called and few are chosen. And everything has a meaning in God's word. The rain is the word of God. The earth is the corporate body. And the clouds is a body of Christ. And he covereth the heavens with a cloud. And who is the king of heaven? And where is heaven? Heaven is where the king is. The king is covered with a cloud. Heaven is within the cloud. Heavens is covered with a cloud. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Christ is the king. And where the king is the heaven, is heaven. In Proverbs 16, verse 15, we read, "In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain." And it is the cloud that brings the latter rain, the former and the latter. In Proverbs 25, verse 14, we read, "Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like a cloud and wind without rain." You know, later on we'll see some verses and some pictures of clouds without water, carried about by the winds. And here in Proverbs we have that same picture: whosoever boasteth himself of a false gift, claiming that they are the body of Christ, that they've been born again, that they've received eternal life, and the focus is on themselves, they are like clouds and wind without rain. In Isaiah chapter 5 verse 6 we read, and I will lay it waste, and he's talking about laying waste the corporate body, the land, the vineyard that he had planted, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns, false prophets and false teachers, briars and thorns. And then he tells us, "And I will also command the clouds of witnesses, the body of Christ, those who are bringing the latter rain, I will command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it." Upon what? Upon the vineyard that has become briars and thorns. He has sent a famine into the land. He has removed the river of life. And he commands the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Isaiah 14, we read in verse 13, "For thou hast said in thine heart," talking of Lucifer, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." This is what's in Satan's heart, to ascend above the heights of the clouds. The clouds are the work of God. The clouds is where Christ dwells in the hearts of those who believe in the clouds. And he goes on to say, "Above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yea, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit," says the Lord. So he desires to be above the heights of the cloud. or the clouds, and he desires to be like the Most High. In Isaiah 19 verse 1 we read the burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. Ezekiel 32 verse 7. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven, and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. And of course, this is again focusing in on the end of the world during the Great Tribulation, the time when the lights are out. But where is the sun? It is covered with the cloud. The sunlight is still in the cloud, and the moon shall not give her light either. So again, the light of the gospel never burns out of the cloud. It continues in the body of Christ. It continues to go forth. The body of Christ continues to edify itself in love by the looking into the gospel, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. And therefore we're sharing the word of God, and in that case we're edifying the body of Christ. In Ezekiel 38:8 we read, after many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come into a land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all the bands, and many people with thee. And that's the bringing of the gospel to the ends of the earth. In Ezekiel 38:16, 38:16, and thou shalt come up against the people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. So as a cloud to cover the land, to bring the rains. Now in Matthew 24, we read in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. So it's a period of time that God is speaking of, and it's the period of the great tribulation, and immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now he's talking about another period of time. Shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And this powers of heaven being shaken brings us to the picture of the body of Christ being on the move. There is a great earthquake. It is departing out. One picture is given, where the scroll is rolled up. The books are closed. And we read on, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And that is the body of Christ declaring the gospel. And he goes on to tell us, and he shall send his messengers with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heavens to the other. And again, this is the sounding of the trumpet. Again, is the voice of God. You know, we go in the book of Revelations and we hear these trumpets. You know, it's the sounding of the trumpets. But to us, it is the voice of God. There is a message, and we seek out the message of what the voice of that time is talking about. It's the voice of God. It's the meat of that season. And God is telling us in His Word, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, what is going on at each and every step of all of the trumpets. And this is the time when he gathers together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. This is when he tells us to go up into the mountain. In Mark 13:24, we read, "But in those days after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken." Same kind of language. "Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." You know, the great power, the power of God, is His Word. They're coming declaring the Word of God. And it is great power. And it is great glory. "And then shall He send His angels, and shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of the heavens." So again, this is in the Great Tribulation, when the Lord is gathering us. And this may actually be a very picture of the very last day, or it could be the picture of come out of her. In fact, let's take a look in... let me open my Bible to that, Matthew 24. Let's see. Okay, one. I think the key clue here is, "Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven." The sign of the Son of Man in heaven, that is the removing of the candlestick. Maybe one of our next studies will be take a look at the sign of the Son of Man. You know, the question was asked in Matthew 24, back in verse 2 or 3, where the disciples said to the Lord, first they talked to the Lord and they said, "Look at all these beautiful buildings down here." And they were up on a mountain and looking down into Jerusalem. And the Lord said, "See all these buildings, they'll not be left one stone upon another that shall not be knocked down." And immediately they understood that He was speaking to them in a parable. And their response was, "When shall these things be, Lord? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming and the end of the world?" And some 30 verses later, He finally answers and says in verse 30 of Matthew 24, verse 30, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the heavens with power and great glory." And so we know the sending of the angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together as elect from the four winds, from the one end of heavens unto the other. We know that this is a picture of the removal of the candlestick. This is the picture, "Come out of her, my people." And He goes on to tell us the parable of the fig tree. And when you know that when its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. It's almost the time of fruits. So likewise, when you see, you shall know that these things, shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. And He goes on to tell us, "Truly I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." And I think what He's talking about here is the generation of the church age. Because once the body of Christ is removed, then that church age is totally over. And it goes on, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." All right, we're going to move away from here. We're going to look a little later this week, maybe, or next week, more at this Matthew 24, and focus in particularly on the sign of the Son of Man. And we'll see other passages, I believe, we can tie right into these verses, where it talks about, one is in the field, and two in the field, one will be taken, the other left, and two in a bed, one is taken, the other left, and so on. But let's get back to the clouds. In Mark 14:62, "And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." I think we read that verse a little earlier. And of course, coming in the clouds of heaven and sitting at the right hand of the Father is a picture of Pentecost, of when He ascended up to be at the Father at the right hand, and He outpoured His Spirit into the body of believers. And then He spoke, then we go into the Bible and we read all these verses focusing in on what's going on in the work of the heart, but the work that the Lord is doing in the heart, the cleansing of the heart, and that He is ruling and reigning in our heart, and we are seated with Him in those heavenly places, in the heart, within us. (Clears throat) we see a couple of pictures here. Second Peter, in chapter 1 and 2, and all the way up to the end of chapter 2, really focuses in on the heresies and the damnable heresies and those who deny the Lord that brought them those who come in with framed words to make merchandise of you, whose judgment is now of a long time and lingereth not, their damnation slumbereth not. And he goes on and on and on for two chapters, speaking of the false prophet and the false teacher. And he talks of them, chiefly them who walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. They despise governments. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And he goes on and on and on. And he tells us that they count it for pleasure to riot in the daytime. And he says, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings. While they feast with you. And the Lord says they have eyes full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin. And when he gets down to 2 Peter chapter 2, we read in verse 16, well, 15. These are they which have forsaken the right way and are gone away, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. And the Lord tells us, these are wells without water. They claim to bring the refreshing springs, the well, the living water. And yet they are wells without water. Clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. And we saw the clouds carried by the winds, and we're going to read a little in Jude of these clouds carried by the wind. But here in 2 Peter, clouds, they are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh those through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. So, for when they speak of great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. And they focus in on fleshly things. Those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error. At one point, they had escaped from those who were clean from who had lived from error. When the corporate church was under the hearing of the true gospel, the people have escaped the pollutions of the world, and they've come under the hearing, the sanctification. They were very close. They were desirous of the things of God. Most of them, of course, did not become born again, but sprinkled among them was God's elect. And they had escaped the pollutions of the world. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. You know, later on, when we look in Revelations, we're going to see one of the riders on the horse, and he comes with balances in his hands. That's what the King James records, that he has a balance. But when we study that word, that word balance is really a yoke. He comes with a yoke in his hand. He's coming to bring bondage back. And that's what Satan's coming with. He's coming with a yoke of bondage. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruptions. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought back into bondage, or brought into bondage. For if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it is better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after that they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned into his vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now in Jude, we have the same kind of a picture. In Jude chapter 1, and you know, in verse 3, we read, beloved, he's talking to the body of Christ, the body of believers, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the communion, of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. But then he goes on and tells us, for there were certain men crept in unawares, who before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the Lord, the only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defiled the flesh, despised dominion, speak evil of the dignities. Yet Michael, the chief messenger, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring a railing against him, a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and read greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are, without water, carried about of the winds. Trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of the darkness forever. So here we see again, God gives us a terrible picture of the working of these people and following after other gospels and denying the Lord who brought them, and he calls them. He says that they are clouds without water. They come, you know. We know that Satan comes as an angel of light. You know, Satan comes carrying a Bible. He appears like the light. He appears like the clouds. He claims to have the rain, the living water. But he is a cloud without water, and his messengers are clouds without water, carried about of the winds, trees whose fruits withered, without fruit, twice dead. He also calls them wandering stars. We were looking at the stars, was that yesterday? We looked at the picture of Satan and his tail. Took a third of the stars. Yeah, that was yesterday. We were looking at the thirds. And we see how the Lord refers to the people, to those who are claiming to bring the light of the gospel. They appear to be stars, but they're not. They bring no light. And he calls them wandering stars. In Revelations chapter 10, we read in verse 1, "And I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head." This is God himself. This is the Lord coming down in judgment. He is clothed with a cloud. He has a rainbow upon his head. His face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet the pillars of fire. This is coming up against the last day. This is the last trumpet that's being sound. This is when the Lord will come down with the shout of the chief messenger. And as we read on in chapter 10 here, he declares that there is time no longer. It is the end of the world. Judgment day has come. But here he is. He is clothed with a cloud. He's in the clouds. He's in the body. In Revelation chapter 11, we read in verse 11, "And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them." And this is when the two witnesses were killed. But after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life, the Pumana Zoe, from God entered into them. And the Lord said, My words are spirit. The Pumana Zoe, the Word of God, has entered back into them. And they stood upon their feet, they're declaring the gospel. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. Those who heard the gospel, those who saw the cloud and the glory of God coming out of that cloud, fear fell upon them who saw them. The fear of God is the beginning of the response to the gospel. It is the beginning of understanding and wisdom. Great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, "Come up hither." And we've looked at this word, "come up hither." This word, "come up hither," means to come closer to God. Come closer. Come hither. Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. They became part of the body of Christ. They became born again. And their enemies beheld them. They departed out. They left. They are going with this group over here that is proclaiming the gospel. Their enemies beheld them. And in the same hour was a great earthquake. And again, this is the picture of the body of Christ moving. It's the same language of Matthew 24 and many, many other places that talk about this time. And their great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And that's the completeness of the falling of that city. It is done. And in the earthquake was slain of men 7,000. And that's the perfection of the judgment coming upon them. And the remnant were affrighted. You know, there's only a remnant saved by grace. And again, this is also referred to as a remnant. They were frightened. They feared God. And they gave glory to the God of heaven. And that's the message that we bring from Revelation 14:7. That we read, that's what the body of Christ is declaring in these days. The message of Revelation 14, in verse 6, we read, "And I saw another angel or messenger." Well, this is the Holy Spirit. "I saw another messenger, the Holy Spirit, fly in the midst of heaven, moving through the body of Christ, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell unto the earth." And the Holy Spirit moves through the body of Christ to declare this message. And we are the vessels of the Lord to declare that message, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindreds and tongues and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God." That has been the gospel from the very beginning, and this is the message. Fear God. Give glory to Him. People have been given glory to themselves, to their churches, to their teachers, to the books of dead men. And this has been the message from the very beginning. Give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And that's the new part of the message. That's the part of the message that the body of Christ is bringing today, along with the gospel. It's the meat of due season. And we cannot separate it. We see it throughout the whole Bible. We pick up the book of Genesis and right on through to Revelations. We see it woven throughout the Word of God now that our eyes have opened to it. We wonder why we didn't see it before. It is so obvious. The meat of due season. The hour of His judgment has come. We've been looking at it all night and talking about it all night as we're looking at the clouds. We spoke about it yesterday. The judgment, the fenced-in cities, the fences being taken down, the walls knocked over, the thorns and the thistles coming up in the vineyard, I mean, it's constant. We see it throughout. Give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him that made the heaven and the earth. That has always been part of the gospel. Worship Him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another messenger, the Holy Spirit moving through the body of Christ, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city. And that city is the Jerusalem from below, because she made all the nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So, their enemies beheld them. Back to Revelations, chapter 11. The same hour was there an earthquake, verse 13, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake was slain of men 10,000, and the remnant were frightened. The elect, those who responded, were frightened, and gave glory to the God of heaven. They responded, and the Lord says right here, the second woe is past. This is the sixth trumpet. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the third woe is Revelations chapter 10, the mighty messenger, Christ himself, coming down and declaring, there is time no more. Judgment day has arrived. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. God gathered his people. He sent the messengers out, and he is separating them as the wheat from the tares, or the sheep from the goats. In Revelations 14, and I mentioned this verse a little earlier, and I was referring to 18 or 19. It's actually in 14. Revelations chapter 14, we read in verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. This is the body of Christ. And upon that cloud one sat. That is Christ ruling and reigning in the cloud. One sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown. He is the King of Kings. And in his hand a sharp sickle. It is a time for reaping. And another angel came, or a messenger came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. So here it is, one that sat upon the cloud, he that is ruling the body. That's Christ, one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of the voice of the chief messenger and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, the body of Christ. The end of the world will all be caught up into the air, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Now, this air at this point, what's going on in the air now is judgment. You know, Satan is prince and power of the air, and that's the conversation. He has rule over the conversations of the world. But in this day, there'll only be one voice. This is judgment day itself. This is the day that we are changed in the twinkling of an eye. and we will meet the Lord in the air, the place of conversation, the communion, and the conversation of the entire world will be judgment. And it goes on, and we will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times of the seasons, brethren, we have... I'm going to stop there. That's going into another chapter. Comfort you one another with these words. So, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds, the body of Christ, the end of the world. All right, that ends it. If anybody has any questions or comments or any corrections that could be made, feel free to pick up the mic or raise your hand if someone's on it.